This is a reading of the book by Rudolf Steiner, The Threshold of the Spiritual World. This is Aphorism 6, entitled The Guardian of the Threshold, Some Characteristics of Suprasensory Consciousness. Our experience in the sensory world places us outside the spiritual world, where, as we have seen, our nature is rooted. We can understand the part sensory experience plays in human nature when we remember that to enter the suprasensory worlds with suprasensory consciousness, we must strengthen precisely those soul powers that we can acquire only in the sensory world. When its powers have not been strengthened in this way, the soul feels a certain dread of entering the suprasensory world. To escape having to make such an entry, the soul will even search for quote-unquote proofs to establish that entry is in fact impossible. If the soul is strong enough to enter the suprasensory worlds, it will, when it enters, find in itself the powers that will allow it to assert itself as an independent being. It will, then, experience in the field of its consciousness not only thoughts, but also beings. Such is the nature of the elemental and spiritual worlds. It will also feel that it could have gathered the forces needed for this only in life in the sensory world. Then it will realize why it had to be led through the sensory world on its journey through the cosmos. This insight occurs particularly through suprasensory consciousness's experience of thinking. When you enter the elemental world, your consciousness becomes filled with beings that you perceive pictorially, but you cannot develop an inner activity in relation to these beings in the elemental world that is like the life of thought you develop in the sensory world. And yet it would be impossible to find your way in this elemental world if you did not enter it through thinking. This is what it means to be a human being. Without thinking, you could certainly see the beings of the elemental world, but you would not really know who any of them were. You would be like a person who is faced with a text that he or she could not read. The eyes of a person who cannot read see exactly the same thing as the eyes of one who can, but the writing has meaning and substance only for a reader. The activity of thinking, exercised by suprasensory consciousness during its sojourn in the elemental world, is by no means the same as that which occurs in the sensory world. Rather, when correctly beholding the elemental world, a thinking being, for instance, a human being, perceives the meaning of the world's powers and beings. A non-thinking being would perceive only images without understanding their meaning and real nature. If, when you enter the spiritual world, you do not see with your soul as a thinking being, you might well, for example, take the Aramanic beings for something quite different from what they are. The same is true also of the Luciferic and other beings of the spiritual world. But a clairvoyant gaze in the spiritual world, strengthened through thinking, will see Aramanic and Luciferic beings for what they are. If you view the spiritual world armed with insufficiently powerful thinking, then Luciferic beings will gain control of the clairvoyant world of images. They create the illusion in the observing soul that it is penetrating deeper and deeper into the spiritual world it seeks. In actuality, however, the soul is just sinking deeper into the world that the Luciferic powers are preparing, a world of the same nature as their own. In such a case, the soul would certainly feel as if it was becoming increasingly independent, but in fact it would be growing accustomed to a spiritual world that did not correspond to its nature and original source. It would be entering a foreign spiritual environment. The sensory world conceals from us such beings as the Luciferic beings and others like them. Therefore, in the sensory world, consciousness cannot be led astray. The deceiving beings are simply not present there for it. Thus it can gain enough strength in its thinking without being confused by them. One of the instinctive characteristics of healthy consciousness is that it will wish to enter the spiritual world only to the extent it has in the sensory world sufficiently strengthened itself to behold it. Consciousness clings to the way it experiences itself in the sensory world. It feels in its element when it can experience the thoughts, feelings, effects, and so on that it owes to the sensory world. How strongly consciousness is attached to those experiences is revealed at the very moment that we truly enter the supersensory worlds. Just as, at particular moments of our lives, we cling to our most beloved memories, so too, when we enter the supersensory worlds, all possible tendencies arise of necessity from the depths of our souls. At that moment, we become aware how fundamentally we are bound to the life that connects us with the sensory world. This dependency reveals its full reality, without any of the illusions we otherwise invent for ourselves in our ordinary lives. In a sense, this revelation is our first achievement in the supersensory worlds. Entering the supersensory world, we gain a piece of self-knowledge, of which we had hardly any intimation before. We are shown all that we must leave behind if we are to enter in a fully knowing way a world that we in fact inhabit continuously. What we have made of ourselves as human beings, consciously and unconsciously, in the sensory world, arises vividly and distinctly before our soul. The result of this experience is that people often let fall away further attempts to enter the supersensory worlds. They realize with clarity that if their stay in the spiritual world is to be successful, besides leaving behind their attachment to the sensory world, they must learn to feel and perceive very differently. To be successful, then, one must decide to shape a very different inner soul state than one had before. In other words, you must add a new state to the one you have already acquired. But what actually happens at the moment of entering the supersensory world? You see the being you have always been. But now you no longer see that being from the customary standpoint of the sensory world. Rather, you see yourself from the standpoint of the spiritual world. You see the being you have always been and its reality without illusion. You see it in such a way that you feel yourself permeated with the cognitive powers that can measure that being's spiritual value. When you see yourself in this light, it becomes clear why people dread entering the supersensory world, and how strong you have to be to enter. You see how you hold yourself back as a knowing being. In fact, the more accurately you see through yourself in this way, the more strongly the tendency arises to remain in the sensory world with the consciousness connected to it. Heightened knowledge coaxes those tendencies out of their hiding places in the depths of your soul. You must cognize these tendencies. Only that can overcome them. But it is above all in that act of cognition that your tendencies most powerfully demonstrate their strength. They want to overpower your soul. Your soul feels itself drawn down into measureless depths. This moment of self-knowledge is of great seriousness. Too often we philosophize and theorize too much about self-knowledge. This diverts the soul's gaze away from the seriousness connected with the question of self-knowledge. Despite this seriousness, it is immensely satisfying to reflect upon how human nature is organized in such a way that our natural instincts prevent us from entering the spiritual world before we are mature enough. How satisfying it is to know that the first and most important meeting with a being of the supersensory world is a meeting with the full reality of our own being, which will in turn lead us onward in our development. Concealed within you is a vigilant being who keeps careful, solicitous watch over the border that you must cross when entering the supersensory world. This spiritual being within you is you yourself. Your ordinary consciousness can no more recognize it than the eye can see itself, EYE. It is the guardian of the threshold of the spiritual world. When you experience the sense that you are not only that being, but also outside that being, facing it, in that moment you recognize the guardian. As with other experiences in the supersensory world, it is the soul's strengthened and strengthening capacities that make the guardian of the threshold visible. Although clairvoyant vision requires that meeting the guardian be raised into knowledge, meeting the guardian is certainly not an event that occurs only to those able to behold the spirit. The same situation occurs for all human beings every time they go to sleep. For then we are all confronted by ourselves, which is exactly the same as standing before the guardian of the threshold. This lasts just as long as we are asleep, for in sleep the soul rises to its supersensory essence. But the soul's inner strengths are not of themselves enough to call forth the unconsciousness of, to call forth the consciousness of this. To understand supersensory experience, particularly in its tender beginnings, it is very important that the soul attend to the fact that it may already have begun to have supersensory experiences without being able to form any knowledge of them worth speaking of. Clairvoyance begins very delicately. People often expect to see things they could reach out and touch, and they therefore pay no attention to the clairvoyant impressions that flit past. Or it may be that they simply do not wish to acknowledge these impressions as clairvoyant. Certainly they occur in such a way that their very appearance prepares you to forget them. Such clairvoyant impressions enter the realm of consciousness so faintly that they can remain quite unnoticed, like pale clouds in the soul. Because clairvoyance begins so delicately, and because people usually have misleading expectations regarding intuitions of the spirit, many people who seriously seek the spiritual world will at least at first miss it. Here again, encounter with the guardian of the threshold is important. If you have strengthened your soul for self-knowledge, then meeting with the guardian can be no more than a first delicate flitting past of spiritual perception. You will not, however, forget it as easily as you might forget other supersensory impressions, because you are more strongly interested in your own nature than in other things. On the other hand, the encounter with the guardian is not necessarily among the first supersensory experiences. Strengthening of the soul can take various directions, and the path the soul takes can lead it first to other beings or processes in the spiritual field of vision. Nevertheless, relatively soon after you have entered into the supersensory world, this meeting with the guardian will occur. The end of aphorism 6.